a statement to me. I said, Brother Jackson, I sure hope you do a bunch of jumping jacks to keep me awake this this afternoon. So, 1, 2, 3, 4. So, just got to, you know, want to be a servant and make sure that we meet everybody's needs today. But definitely I'm excited. Obviously, we do have a new member of the family. Now we're the Jackson Trio. I don't think we're ever going to make it to the Jackson 5, but they say never, but we're absolutely excited. This afternoon, we were going to try to take a good old Baptist nap. There's nothing like a Sunday nap, but of course, Felicity had other things in mind, and needless to say, it was an exciting afternoon. But God, is still running. Even though sometimes I'm like, baby, if you don't stop, someone's going to say you got the devil in you. We were worried. My wife was like, babe, we're going to get kicked out. I was like, you know what a PR nightmare would be for you to kick out people that have a little baby? But needs to say, we're definitely excited. We have the opportunity to be here. It seemed like every time I worked on the message, something would happen. So I don't know who this is for. It may just be a reminder to all of us what we have. But if you can join me in Luke chapter 24, as you turn there, since the last time we were here, a lot has happened in our life. Yes, we've been traveling across. We've been to Montana. We've been as further south as Miami. We even came up north to Chicago and different places. This is just since the last time. We now have an opportunity to go to the Philippines. We're going to go to the Philippines in January of next year. Please pray for us because met with the with the missionary. Boy, we all were super excited, and then I looked at the plane tickets, and my enthusiasm dropped. But I do believe that God can meet those needs too. So if you don't mind, if you can pray with us about those. Seems like both tickets were probably, I would say, about $2,000 a piece. That would take us, but we already know that we have an opportunity to speak to over 10,000 people while we're there. More the police, we get to speak to all the police that are inside the region that we're going to be in. They said they kind of heard my story and heard what God had done, and all the schools want us to go there. They said that's several thousand. We're going to be able to be at a youth conference where it's going to have, I think he said, oh, it's a smaller youth conference. It's probably only going to be anywhere between 7,000 and 10,000 teenagers. I said, small, huh? So we're really excited for what God has done. Since then, we've just been traveling. We've seen God fill the altars. We've seen people get right with God. Just last week, I wish you could have been there. On Friday, teenagers, I'm not talking about adults, teenagers at the altar, stains just filling the altar. With teenagers realizing that God can still use them. We told them in the 80s and 90s and even the 2000s how it seemed like in the 80s, boy, people were being called to preach and missionaries were being sent out like crazy. It was literally, boy, it was a machine that was happening in the 80s and 90s. The fundamental crowd was a crowd to be. Oh, they had the biggest churches everywhere. It was super exciting. Then it said, boy, we got to confident in ourselves. Something happened. Well, we allowed the philosophers of the day and we allowed other crowds that we should not have allowed to creep in. Now, all of a sudden, well, we tell our kids it's an emotional decision when they surrender to God. I tell those same people who say that it's an emotional decision when you use the restroom. I was like, you don't believe me. Hang around with these little kids and all of a sudden, boy, they begin to dance because of a feeling. But those kids Friday, you couldn't tell them that feeling wasn't from God. And that was the difference. And boy, we've been able to see the altars full this whole time. I do believe in the last month have been some of the hardest in our life. Since January 15th, our baby girl came into this world. I always heard that girls were drama. And my girls were enough drama in me to where my even blood pressure went up, and they were like, your blood pressure's starting to get high. I was like, no, duh. Went to the doctor's office. They said that baby girl was a little measuring small on their scale. They said anything from 10 percentile and lower, they start to worry about. She was at 7 percentile. They sent us to a specialist. As we went to the specialist, when we went there, they did every test that they know to do. And they said, we don't know why they sent you here. She's measuring on the 14th percentile. And I said, you two need to get together because we're paying both of your bills, and it's a little bit crazy. Right before we left, he said, we just want to do two more tests, and we're going to take your blood pressure. He's like, madam, your blood pressure is a little bit elevated. We said, well, we've been in doctor's offices for the past 2 days. We're a little tired. He said, okay, all right. He said, madam, we're going to just take another urine sample, and said that my wife was, her protein level was higher than what it was supposed to be also. I said, we need to send you back to the doctor's office today. We're like, it's already like 4:30. Doctor's office closes at 5. They said, we'll call them, but you need to go back to them today. We're at UF Shands. Like, we did what any Christian would do. We went to Chick-fil-A in between. Got me an old-fashioned number one. God's still in the chicken sandwich. May not be in the egg business, but he's still in the chicken sandwich business. And we said, well, if something's wrong, and we go home, we would never forgive ourselves. So let's just go to the doctor's office and see what's going on. We walked in the doctor's office, and long story short, the nurse that saw us, this was Wednesday, that saw us Tuesday, was like, what are you guys doing back here? She said, they sent us to you because they said that they didn't like our results. She said, I wrote the results down personally myself. Can they not read? We're like, well, apparently so. She said, all right, come on, let's sit down. Let's take some more tests, see what's going on. Took my wife's blood pressure. Now it's way high. It's like 157, 160. We're like, They do another sample. She's spilling double the protein that she's supposed to. The nurse there said, we know that you want to go full term, but I don't think you can go full term. So you got to understand, 30 minutes ago, the doctor, right before he left, he said, you have no problem going 39, 40 weeks. Thank you so much. 30 minutes later, she said, normally when cases are like this, she said, I am no doctor. She said, but I think you're going to see your child probably around 37 weeks, standard care. All of a sudden, within a minute, the doctor comes in and says, we got to go right now. We're like, go, we just got here. She said, no, we got to go right now. She said, your liver's failing, your kidney's failing. She said, if we don't go right now because your platelets drop, you will not make it off the table. Our natural thing was to reach out to our Christian brothers and sisters. Pick up the phone, contact somebody. It's church time. What better time for God's people to all be together than pray? They took our phones away from us. No. We don't have time. We said, my wife just ate. We just ate. She said, how long ago? Like literally, not only a few minutes ago. They said, it's not worth the risk. We're having surgery anyways. Boy, our hearts were turned upside down. It's 5 weeks early. I'm like, babe, the room isn't done. We're not ready yet. Well, we were afraid. After baby girl came into the world, they had to put my wife on anti-seizure medicines. For the first 24 to 48 hours, they told us, it's going to make you feel horrible, but it's better than the outcome. When they gave it to us, and the whole time she's just sitting there holding her head, agony, being in agony and pain. Well, I sure am glad that what Pastor teaches and what other people here who are Sunday school teaches you on a daily basis how God is good and how to have that relationship with God. Sure, I'm glad we listened to who taught us. And so I'm glad because when that time came, we didn't have anybody else to lean on. We didn't have anybody else to pray for us. We had to rely on our prayers for God to answer. Obviously, God answered our prayers. Oh, this next week we'll do another round of tests to make sure mom's okay, to make sure baby girl's okay. But as I can tell you, even during the good times and during the bad times, God is still good. And is still by our side. We find here in Luke chapter 24, it's been a very dark time, the last few chapters. Our Lord has come to this earth. What He's come to this earth has been fulfilled. The ghost is now given up. It's a very dark time. In verse 24 and verse 13 is where we're going to begin reading. It says, "Behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him." Now let's skip to verse 25. It says, "Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into the holy, into His glory?" Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, and He expounded upon them in all the Scripture the things concerning Himself." We find some individuals at a really rough spot. And not only do we find them at a really rough spot, we find a stranger joining them. And if I had a title for the message that God would have me preach tonight, it would be this: "I didn't realize what I had." They didn't realize what they had. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Lord God, we thank You for Sunday. Sunday seems like it's a little bit brighter. Seems like there's a little bit more hope. Seems like there's a new beginning of the week. Lord God, may we take advantage of it. Oh, Holy Spirit, may You speak to us. Oh, may You give me what we need tonight. Lord God, please help them not to hear me. Lord God, please help them to hear Thee. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You in advance, and we ask that You just show up and show out as only You can. We pray these things and much more. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Can you imagine? They've seen Him crucified. They know who was on the cross. It said the King of the Jews. It was written in Latin and Greek and in Hebrew. They wanted to make sure that everybody knew who was on the cross. Oh, they had just seen the crown of thorns that were beat into His head. Oh, they had just seen how His back was scrapped and it was wide open, and how they took a big Roman soldier and how He whipped our God. They just seen Him literally where His body gave up the ghost. And He died. It seemed like all was lost. Oh, the one that they called Savior. Now it seemed like His body was weak. His body was limp. Can you imagine those individuals as not one day, but 2 days, but 3 days have now passed. It's now Sunday and they're walking. as they're walking, I can only imagine how their heart broke. This just wasn't a man, this was their Savior. How their heart broke within. How they were hurting and trying to mentally put together what they just saw, what just happened. Then all of a sudden a stranger came and the stranger started talking and jumped into the conversation. And the Bible says that their eyes were holding, their eyes were shut. But they didn't even realize that one who walked with him was Jesus Christ himself. He had just not only said, "It is finished," on the cross, but all of a sudden we find him going and doing what no one else could do. He not only experienced death, but he conquered death. And while he was conquering death, the Bible talks about how he took that blood. Oh, that blood is not in the dirt. Oh, he took that blood and he sprinkled it in the mercy seat of heaven to cover your sins and my sins. That's why we call him the precious Lamb of God, because he was our sacrifice. That way we could get to heaven. And I imagine he's joining them now. Joining them, telling them, hey, the price has already been done. Things are going to be different from now. Hey, when you go inside the tabernacle, boy, the veil has been ripped. The price has been paid. Hallelujah. But they didn't even recognize him. Their eyes were shut. Oh, when you read a little bit more, later on in the chapter, the Bible not only tells us that their eyes were shut, but the Bible says that their heart burned within. You ever read your Bible to the point where your heart burned within? Oh, if you haven't done it, I challenge you to do it. Lord God, I need something from you today. Lord God, I want to read until I get something or my heart burns within. Oh, I learned that from Dr. Lee Robertson. He said, "I don't read my Bible to check off more of what I need to read to finish my Bible in a year. I read my Bible until I get something from God and my heart burns within." We find these individuals. Oh, I know what they've been taught. The Bible said that they've been taught Scripture. Oh, I can only imagine they probably said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it said that seed of woman someday will bruise the heel of the serpent. He was that seed that they were talking about. Oh, I can only imagine how they were saying the prophets that would come that was like Moses. All of a sudden it seemed like the prophets not only was right, but that one who would come that was like Moses was greater than him. Isaiah chapter 53, it says that he was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. They saw it personally. They saw it literally, the blood come pouring out of his body. Yet their eyes were closed. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, "And he prophesied that a virgin would come forth and bear us Emmanuel." All these things that they had said had come forth. All these things that they had talked about had come forth. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 told us of the city in which that little one would be born, and that little one was born. Daniel told us how he would come. Isaiah told us why he would come. Moses told us and pointed to him and said that he was the one. And Micah even told us about the tabernacle and how the tabernacle reminds us of him, because there's only one way in and one way out. And how he is the way, the truth, and the light. He told us about the precious Lamb of God. Told us about the high priest and how he has come to be our high priest and to speak to us. Yet they still know him not. Can you imagine Jesus himself walking with them and they didn't know him? The precious Lamb of God. Oh, the King of forever, the everlasting Judah. Can you imagine Christ being there and us not even knowing that it's him? Oftentimes when we look at football games, ladies, it's very easy when the football game is over and the adrenaline is worn off and Now all of a sudden our blood pressure has lowered and we can watch the game maybe again and we can see the X's and O's. It's very easy for us, the Monday morning quarterback. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you make that call? How stupid of us to do that. Very easy for us, the Monday morning quarterback them, and say, why would you not realize that Jesus was walking with you? Oh, the precious Lamb of God, the one who literally gave it all. Did you not look at his hands? Did you not see his feet? They still wore sandals. They didn't have Nikes back then, at least far as I know. Signs were all over the place, but yet they knew him not. Oh, let me ask you this. Christian, how long are you going to be sorrowful with your eyes wide shut when you don't realize that this world is not your resting place? This world is simply a place that you're just passing by. Why? Because the one called Savior, if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior in your heart, can I tell you, heaven is your place. Heaven is where you're going to be. There's no more crying. There's no more gnashing of teeth. There's no more pain. There's no more back and knee aches. Hey! God has given us a wonderful, marvelous thing. But I feel like today it seems like us Christians, oh, we read the Bible. Oh, we come to church. Oh, we play Christianity. Oh, we do everything. But it seems like sometimes, even when our eyes should be open, our eyes are shut. Seems like sometimes we want to get our philosophy from everybody else except for God and the Bible. I told someone this a long time ago. They said, well, this person says this and this person says that. I said, I don't care what they say. If it doesn't line up to God's Word, I don't want to hear it. I can care less that you think that the world happened millions and billions of years ago. I tell you, you're a liar. The only time, Brother Stanley, I was glad to wear a mask during COVID was I was in Montana and we were on a boat ride. And they wouldn't let me go on the boat without a mask. I told them, look, I had a blood clot in my lungs. Wearing a mask is not exactly the smartest thing to do when that has happened. Oh, you have to wear a mask. So finally, I put one on. To hear. Rebel. Just a rebel. Well, I put one on and all of a sudden he said, look at that rock right there. You see that rock? That red one? That one's billions of years old. I said, yeah, right. He looked. Only thing he saw was a bunch of ninjas. One had the biggest smile. Why? Doesn't match up to God's Word. Don't care what you say. Don't care what your opinion is. Don't care what your humanistic theology is. Doesn't match up to God's Word. And yet we've seen these people. All the signs had pointed to the Messiah. All the signs that pointed to not only when he would come, but what he would do. Yet he walked with him. And they knew him not. He talked with him. They didn't recognize his voice. Oh, let me ask you this. When's the last time you got something from your Bible? Oh, not something that a pastor gave you. Well, that's good. Not something that a Sunday school teacher gave you. Well, and that's good also. I'm talking about something literally from God. Hey, remember that time when your eyes were wide open? And boy, you couldn't wait to get in God's Word. You couldn't wait to get your old King James Bible. And boy, and open it and see, thus saith the Lord. And boy, you literally felt like you were at the King's table. Remember that? Now it seems like your eyes are wide shut. Well, I'll just say it to get my Catholic stuff on so I can check it off the list. That way a pastor comes up to me and says, hey, would you read out of your Bible? I can at least tell them something to get them off of my back. because my eyes have now become shut. Oh, member, church member, when you still want to be the prayer warrior, boy, you heard of yesterday how, boy, there were people that anybody would go up to and they would give them prayer requests. Why? Because they knew if anybody could answer prayer, anybody could get, boy, an answer to prayer from God, it would be that individual. I'm looking at one of those individuals now because I remember when I was in Bible college, Brother Hudson said this, hey, if any of you have a prayer request, if any of you have something that you need somebody to pray for, I'll meet you anytime at God's house. You just give me a call. No one said, well, I don't know if he walks with God. I don't know if God will hear him. They're like, man, that's awesome. You know what I decided as a teenager? Well, I want to be like that. Well, I want to have that prayer life. Well, I want to have that power of God. Hey, remember when you used to want to pray? Remember when you used to want to get with God? Remember how precious that was that you were walking into the Holy of Holies? Oh, you literally were with God Himself. But now your eyes, gotten shut. Now you only pray to Him when there's a problem. Before, boy, you just pray to Him, say thank you. Lord God, I just thank you for my family. Lord God, I thank you for my church. Lord God, I thank you for the car. Lord God, it's not exactly the right car that I would want, but Lord God, it still runs every single time. Boy, it starts up. Woo! I can make one more trip. Well, remember how grateful we used to be? Now all of a sudden it seems like we've forgotten how good God is. We wonder why, boy, the world seems like it's getting louder and louder and louder. Seems like His voice is bigger than God's people's voice. Why? Our eyes have become closed. Hey, it's time for God's people to realize that He still walks with us. He still talks with us. He's still our friends. He still meets our needs. He still gives us the desires of thine heart. We simply have to realize that He's in the room. Then He never leaves us. Why? Because He said that He would never leave us nor forsake us. That's a promise. That's a commitment. Man, that's like us and our wife. Baby, when I said I do, I meant it. I don't plan on leaving you. My wife knew I didn't need a prenup because there wasn't nothing to prenup about it. I was like, but babe, when I say forever, I mean forever. I mean my mansion in heaven. You're going to have to put up with my IMAX theater that I have there and my monster trucks in the backyard. Oh, you want to talk about the biggest gun? By the way, God has given me a baby girl. And if any of you are selling any guns or bazookas or tanks, I'm the man to talk to about purchasing. When I told my wife, you may have to put up with some of that. Why? Because in heaven, I want to be with you also there. God has given us a precious thing. Teenagers, young people, the people that pick up the torch for the next generation coming behind. Can I tell you, God is still on the throne. God is still with you. God still hears you. God still answers prayer. Hey, if the people here in the church just realize who the young people are that we have here, we could have the next missionary to set this world on fire. We could have the next preacher that preach it up and all of a sudden save the next generation, save the hand of God from destroying America. Couldn't understand sometimes, Pastor, when I would hear some of those old men that said, God's coming back, God's coming back, better make sure that your affairs are in order. I said, well, of course He's coming back. The Bible's telling us. Why do they keep reminding us and keep scaring people? They weren't trying to scare people. They were trying to tell you, hey, if He comes back today, are you ready? Do you know Him for sure? You better get right. These altars better be filled. Why? Because once you're in front of Him, it's too late. Or you better make sure that your eyes are wide open. Oh, I don't want you, when you see our God, when you see our Savior, when you see Him there for the first time, you don't hold your head in shame. Oh, what I want the church members here to do is do what they've always done when they've been in their presence. All of a sudden, boy, they get down on their hands and knees, God, so they know who they're in front of. Boy, they know Him. That's not a stranger. That's their friend. Oh, that's their Savior. Oh, Lord God, You don't have to tell me to get down on my hands and knees. Lord God, I want to get down on my hands and knees. Why? Because I'm not worthy. Lord God, I am not worthy, but I just want to praise You. And all of a sudden, He lifts you up one more time. And He says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Boy, in order for that to happen, your eyes can't be shut. Sometimes my baby girl, her eyes are shut, and we'll grab her. And she'll jump. Seemed like we're startling her. If there was a stranger and they didn't know, they would think we're beating her or something. Oh, let me ask you, church members, how's your eyesight? Have you become blind to God? When's the last time you rejoiced when someone got saved? Do you realize the Bible tells us that heaven rejoices, heaven screams and shouts? Why don't we do that here? Someone gets saved. Do you realize what happens when someone gets saved? Amen. They were dirty, filthy, had no hope. And all of a sudden they met the one called Jesus. And they were dirty. And He cleansed them. And He took away their sin and their worry for eternity. And He met their needs. Remember how excited you used to be? Well, when someone got saved, you... Remember how excited you used to be when God used you to lead somebody to Him? If you have never done that, I don't know how it feels to win a Super Bowl, but I imagine that's pretty close. Well, I was in West Virginia. When I was in West Virginia, I was with a young man named Juan. My wife's going to get to meet him coming up here soon. When I met Juan, we were out soul winning, going door to door. And when we were going door to door, for some reason, something just told me, well, you don't knock a door, you used to be the silent prayer partner. I said, Juan, I want you to take the next one. He said, no, but I feel bad. I said, Juan, take the next one. Juan, take the next one. In fact, Juan, you take it until you get one. She's like, oh. All of a sudden, Juan met somebody he knew. Boy, when he asked them that question, if something were to happen to you today, do you know for sure? They said, no, I don't. I don't know for sure. Boy, he opened the Bible and he opened their eyes. And they knew Christ when we walked away. As we were walking away, Brother Harris, he said, Brother Jackson, I just want to admit something. I said, what's that? He's like, that's my first one. I said, really? He said, that's my first one. I was like, how does it feel? He said, it feels awesome. I was like, you know what? I was like, no disrespect to anybody else. I was like, I know we're men, but I was like, man, that's so awesome. I was like, let's skip to the next house. Here, grown men are like, yeah. You know what? He wanted to do the next talking again. I said, no, buddy. One and done. We heard Pastor talk about this morning how the waters were stirred. That's someone saying, hey, I know Him as Savior too, and I want to be a part of the church family. I want to do the same thing that He did. The more they came forward, remember how excited you were? Praise the Lord. Now you're like, oh, more sure I am hoping that I'm first in line for the Mexican restaurant. Sure hope that I beat the Presbyterians. Whew. They get out on time. Come on, Pastor. Come on. My, oh my, it's amazing how the crock pot has become more popular in some of our minds than God's man who gets something from God to give to you. Tonight, how's your eyes? Are they wide open? Boy, do you want to grow? I never met somebody that said, latter part of their life. Well, Brother Jackson, I wish, I would have spent more time out in the world. Wish I would have smoked a little. Wish I would have done more drugs. Wish I would have just lived it up just a little bit more. But I always hear stories of them like, man, Brother Jackson, I wish I would have just served God. Wish I would have just know what I know now. Wish I could have just given everything that I have now. Can I tell you? Husbands, you better realize what God gave you now before you sit at a dinner table and there's no other person on the other side. Then you realize what you have. Wives, you better realize what God has given you now. And cherish it while He's given you now, how He's given you for that holy home. Take advantage of it. Teenagers, kids, take advantage of being in a Christian home. There's inheritance that's like no other. It's not second place. You're not missing out. Can I tell you? You're getting the full gamut. Met bus kids this week that said, I wish my parents would tell me no. I wish my parents would love me enough just to tell me no. But they're too interested in being my friends. But they're like, but I sure am glad I'm here. Where I can get some preaching that tells me what I'm doing is either right or what I'm doing is wrong. Oh, tonight, adults, God still answers prayer. You're not alone. You're not alone in your situations. You're not alone even in your own head. But if your eyes are shut, my oh my, let's open them and realize that He's with us. Open them and realize that He cares. This is why, Pastor, this is why men of God tell us to get inside God's Word on a daily basis. There's been so many times. The moment I got inside God's Word and He told me to watch my tongue, and all of a sudden, Brother Harris, I'm put in a position to tell somebody how much I really think about them and how much I really want to bless them in Jesus' name. But I keep my mouth shut and I just laugh. And I'm like, boy, you better be glad that I read my Bible this morning. And sometimes when I just need a hug, He gives me a hug. Then other times He disciplines me. He lets me see myself for who I really am because He wants to make me better. When's the last time you got better in church? Some of you, if you leave church the same way you came in, could an argument be made that your eyes are starting to close just a little? I want my eyes to be open every single time God's Word is. Lord God, will You please give me something? I don't care if it's a little kid. Lord God, will You please give me something that I can hang on to, that I can use to keep fighting and keep using to better myself for Thee. They didn't realize what they've had. You guys have a church family. Guard it. Guard it. Because if God is blessing, the devil also sees it too. The devil wants nothing more than to shut your eyes. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes on the prize. Oh, church members, I think the future is great here. But you got to realize what God has allowed us to take advantage of and take advantage of it. God has allowed us that close relationship with Him. Are you taking advantage of it? God has allowed us to have good Christian friends, high and sharpened as iron. Are you taking advantage of it? God has allowed you to be in a great church. Are you taking advantage of it? Can I tell you, I'm proud of some of you. Some of you, you say, Brother Jackson, I normally don't come back Sunday night for whatever reason, but I'm starting now. That's what you said this morning. Congratulations. Don't stop. Got a lovely thing called Wednesday. Why? Hump day, as the world would call it. Well, all of a sudden, boy, you're in the middle of the day. You don't know, in the middle of the week, you don't know how you're going to make it. All of a sudden, you get a little bit more of the Jesus juice and you get pumped one more time. And keep going for Him. But you got to realize what you have. You got to realize what He's given us. Can't forsake the assembly and expect your eyes to stay open. Oh, dads, take advantage of the family that we have. Mom, take advantage of the spirit in the home. We all know if Mom ain't happy, it just ain't right. Let's take advantage of the opportunity we have to have a family, Christian family. If I want to do it, I want to do it big, Dan, and I want to do it for God. Let's take advantage of it today. But today, tonight, when the Lord wanted me to ask you is, do you realize what you have? Do you realize what God has given you? And are you taking advantage of it? Are you taking advantage of growing closer to Him? Are you taking advantage of when that time that you do see Him is not in fear, but it's a very sweet time? We find that when they met with our Lord and Savior, and their eyes were open, they said, man, I didn't realize who I was walking with, even though as He spoke, Lord, my heart burned within. But I don't want it to be like that. I get to heaven, man, I didn't realize. History was being made. I didn't take advantage of it. I want it to be like, man, sure I'm glad I listened, even though I couldn't see the end result. I'm so glad I trusted Him. I'm so glad that I walked by faith. I'm so glad that I showed up at church one more time. And I'm sure I'm glad that He met with me when I went. Oh, can I tell you tonight? God's with you. God loves you. And God wants you to keep growing. But you can't do that walking around with your eyes shut. Open your eyes and realize what you have. And let's take advantage of it for the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You today. Lord God, we thank You that we can go come to Your presence. Lord God, we thank You that we can get things right when we're dirty. Lord God, when we don't deserve. And Lord God, we thank You that You can give us the miracle of the Bible. Lord God, when we're weak, Lord God, we can be strong because You strengthen us. Oh, Heavenly Father, tonight, maybe we need some individuals to say, Brother Jackson, my eyes have been getting a little heavy. I haven't been taking advantage of what I've had lately. And Brother Jackson, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Jackson, I do believe in prayer. And Brother Jackson, here in a second, Brother Jackson, if you can just pray for me. Brother Jackson, I have some things that are going on. They're making my eyes a little heavy. But boy, tonight I want to open my eyes and trust God one more time and realize that God is still in the room. Will you just raise your hands so I can pray for you? We're not trying to embarrass anybody. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands that went up. Several more hands. Thank you so much. You know what? The Holy Spirit's telling me to do this. Instead of me praying, oh, you have a pastor that loves you. You have a pastor that pours his heart out. You have a pastor that walks with God and talks with God. If you don't mind, I'm not passing the buck, but as pastor prays for you here in a second when he comes, I'll be in the back praying with him. But oh, tonight, If I was you, I wouldn't just rely on our prayers. Rely on your prayers also. Realize that He hears you. Realize that you can also have a sweet relationship with Him. Some of you, let me ask you this. When's the last time you've been to an old-fashioned altar? If you have to think about it, maybe it's been too long. The altar is simply for when God speaks to you. Even before you walk out of the church, it's a way to respond. It's a first step in obedience. Lord God, I heard you. Lord God, I want to do something about it. Lord God, I want to do it now. Because you know as well as I do, if you get up and you walk out of that door, it lessens your chance to do business with God. So if you need to do business with Him, I challenge you. I dare you. I double dog dare you to do business with God as Pastor comes. Pastor?
Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation. Obviously, the altar is open. If the Lord did speak to you tonight, come talk to Him about it. Again, I've told you this many times. Don't worry about what people think. You just come talk to God. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation. The altar is open.